Yves van der Vaart is a phenomenal artist historian who I met when we did some of the collateral program with Zeitz Global Council. So she has been such such a wealth, a treasure trove of knowledge, I would say. And her exhibition that's opening here at the Norval Foundation celebrates 30 years of democracy in South Africa and also asks the question, are we the people when it comes to our constitution and our rainbow nation? Lisa, what a pleasure to be standing with you here in the midst of this, I would say, monumental exhibition that you've installed here at the Norval Foundation. I can hear Bronwyn Katz's sound installation in the background. It is such a pleasure to be speaking to you right here, where this exhibition, I would say, is something that all of us South Africans need to see. What inspired you, and I hate that term because it sounds so, it sounds such a giveaway phrase, but what was the thinking behind the curation of this exhibition?
Okay, so I was asked to curate the exhibition in the beginning of last year, of 2024. So quite a short period to have a big exhibition like that. And from the start, the idea was that we were going to draw on local collections in the Cape. Theme is 30 years democracy. So actually that's last year, but this exhibition runs into November. So it started in December. And so I wanted to find works that reflect on 30 years of democracy. So it's by no means, I mean, the exhibition is not claiming to be encyclopedic. It's not claiming to be an overview. It is what was available to me and what emerged out of those works. So my approach was that I looked at the works first and then thought about the issues that these works bring up. So the exhibition is structured around four themes, four broad themes. The first one has to do with land and land distribution, land dispossession, something which I think is very close to our histories.
And always been spoken about.
Always, and close to all colonial histories, right? The history of colonialism is the history of dispossession. So one of the first themes that come up are issues around spatial politics, land. So my first room, and you know, you can look at it later, is about land, issues of land, the landscape, how do we relate to the land, different notions of how people imagine the land. And then that leads to a second area, which is more sort of urban issues, urban land issues. So it's really about spatial politics, apartheid, colonialism, contemporary spatial politics. And I think the point is, you know, this exhibition asks a lot of questions. It doesn't give answers because I don't have the answers, but it brings to the fore just how incredibly intractable, how difficult this question is. I mean, we're witnessing it every day. I mean, the government just can't seem to know what to do. It's a very difficult question. Anyway, okay, so that's theme number one.
But I do like, again, as you say, we don't have to have the answers, but the conversations need to be had. And I think that's what's so important. I've had so many friends coming from afar who have relocated elsewhere and who come back to South Africa and they come and see the exhibition. And there's nostalgia connected to it. There's so many questions that they ask afterwards. And we've had lots of dinner conversations. So I appreciate anything that helps us to have the conversations.
Yes. Yes. And I think the, you know, I mean, even for people in this country, I think, you know, this is, for me, art is, or the art that I'm attracted to, for me, art is something which is political. Mm. It's something which makes us think, which wants us to change attitudes.
The status quo.
It's always addressing the status quo. It's always asking questions around it. And I mean, I think there are works in that part of the exhibition, I mean, that raises issues that many people don't even think about. They're not even aware of it. Okay, so that's theme number one. And then I have the second theme I called, okay, so that's called to belong, because it's a question of belonging. Who belongs? When do you belong? Why do you belong? Does everybody belong? Second theme is to protest. And there I've looked at the way in which social action can change things, successfully or not. So it starts off with the Fallist movement and Fees Must Fall, but I also make reference to Marikana, to instances where social change lead to, you know, instances where things didn't go right and the sort of political identities around that. Okay, so that's the second theme. The third theme I've called to care, sort of rushing through these. Mm-hmm. And those are issues that have to do with environmental crisis. For me, that's probably a theme that I think should be in every single exhibition that's curated, because what we are doing to the earth, who we are. So that has to do with how we as a society relate to the environment around us. And then the last theme has to do with this big room that we're in, and I've called that To Be Heard. And with that, I'm trying to, you know, in South Africa, when we emerged as a democracy, one of the founding tropes of our democracy was the rainbow.
The Rainbow Nation.
The Rainbow Nation. And that's been very heavily criticized and discredited because it was sort of a mask hiding all these inequalities under it. And I'm, in a way, To Be Heard is saying, instead of focusing on unity and diversity, I'm saying let's take diversity seriously. Let's think about all these stories that we may not have heard pre-1994, the stories that were sidelined, that were neglected, all these sort of things which were deemed not important enough. So this really is a room full of stories, and it represents different communities. You know, there's a history of the Khoisan. There's, well, works that look at the history of the Khoisan. There's LGBTQI works that refer to LGBTQI rights. There's also a section I was very aware of bringing in people who were not necessarily born in South Africa, but who live here. Surgeon Tegeka, you know, people from Congo, Zimbabwe, whatever, all represented here because we are all South Africa. This is...
We are the people.
We are the people, yes. And, oh, and I didn't say that, but to get back to the title of the show, for me, it was important, you know, we the people... is such an important line. It's the first line in the American Constitution. It's in the preamble to our Constitution. The point of it is, when we really think about it, the point of democracy is that the power is vested in us. You know, it's us people who can make a difference. And so the premise of the exhibition, it starts with the premise that democracy is a verb. It's something that we do. We have to work on it every single day. We have to participate. It's not something that you just inherit and you sit back and you have it. We have to work on it and we have to work towards a common good. You know, it's like, it's really, it's Ubuntu. It's Ubuntu in you know, it's about us being a democracy through other people. Yes.
I like how you said that democracy is a verb because it is so true. I think also with the saying, the Rainbow Nation, it feels like all the bad is just swept under the carpet and we put a big rainbow on it and it goes, no, everything's fine. We're the Rainbow Nation. But the stories have not been heard.
Absolutely.
I like how you're telling the stories in this room.
Yeah.
The pieces, in terms of time and when they were made, I think you said that you put pieces in the show that were from a certain time except one particular piece.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Right. So I looked at works all made after 1994. So all of them are 1994-1. There's one work by Sue Williamson that I've included. And the reason why, this is a work, it's called The Last Supper. It's in the To Belong series. We'll have a look at it. And Sue Williamson went to a family in, I think it was in 1982, there was this family in District 6 which received a letter that the next day their house was going to be flattened. They are going to be dispossessed of their house and they have to move out. I mean, imagine receiving this letter. I mean, it's just devastating. So Susie Williamson took, it's a grid of 11 photos of these people having the Last Supper in their house, and they start writing all kinds of things on the walls and the memories. I mean, it's just a very, very, I mean, I go, I have goosebumps when I just speak about it. Very beautiful pictures of the house owner just sort of looking over the gate. So that was shot in 1982. But then in, I can't remember the date, 2003, Sue Williamson goes back and just takes a photograph of this site. And the grass is this high and there's nothing there.
Nothing. So essentially it was just an unnecessary act.
It was completely unnecessary. These people have lost their land, have lost their house, which houses all their memories, all their art, for nothing. And I just find it, I mean...
No, I stood in front of that piece for a while because, of course, that's part of my history as well. But you stand in front of that and you just...
Waste.
Yes.
The waste, one, but secondly, the intractability of this problem, because here is land. Mm. But how do we, you know, what do we do with it? And to me, that was very important to bring that into this exhibition to show, you know, our democracy is beset with problems, like any democracy. But as you say, it's a question of opening the conversations.
I think you do that so well, because it's true. I think that's also one of the reasons I wanted to do this podcast, is to help people tell stories. Mm. Because I do think a lot of stories are just swept under the carpet in the light of, oh, no, but we'll forget about that. The past is in the past. Mm. We have to acknowledge the past to be able to build a brighter future.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Speaking about past, your upbringing, your education in art, where did that all start?
That's a good question.
Let's take you back.
Good question. I think I've just always been interested in art. I had high school. I did high school in Pretoria, and on Saturday afternoons, all of Pretoria goes to Loftus-Versfeld to watch rugby, and I hated rugby. So I had a little pasola, like a little Vespa, and I remember when everybody went to Loftus, I would go with my little Vespa to the Pretoria Art Museum. And I remember being about 15 or 16 and discovering the space. And I think something just clicked, and I've just always wanted. I did art history at UCT. I came down to Cape Town, did art history at UCT honors. I did a PhD in New York.
You also lectured at Michaelis?
And I lectured not at Michaelis, on Upper Campus, where I was a lecturer in art, in African art history. So that's my field, is African art history. I think I've just always been quite a visual person. And I suppose quite politicized. And for me, this is contemporary art, for me, is the place where it comes together, where, you know, like we were speaking about this work or any of these works, they, you know, there's an impetus to change. There's an impetus to make you think in most of these works. And I think that's what attracts me to art.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm looking, obviously, Bronwyn Katz's work.
Kekama Altarpiece. Mm-hmm. So this is a collective of women who live around Keskamma in Hanover in Eastern Cape. And the specific altarpiece is based on an altarpiece from the 1531, the Grunewald altarpiece. And an altarpiece is something that is historically, in art historical terms, is made for somebody to contemplate while they're thinking of this journey through death. So the Grunewald altarpiece was made for sick patients, awaiting death. So the Keskamma Collective is this community. It's a community that was very much touched by AIDS. It was rampant AIDS in their community, still is. And they wanted to do something, and they started this embroidery project, and it's been still going on. Mm. And this is one of their works. They've made absolutely astounding work. So this was a collective of 100 women. I think three men contributed to it. And we should actually open. It's got three wings that open up. And it tells the story of resilience in this community. I mean, it's filled with all the gogos, all the grandmothers who look after the children while the adults are either away working or have been taken by AIDS. It's about specific individuals in the community, but it's also about the power of women, people standing together. And then when you open it up, it's also about the beauty of nature and the abundance of nature. I mean, it's a spectacular work.
Spectacular.
And it doesn't travel that much, so it's a real coup to have it here.
I was about to say, to have this installed here in the first place is quite a... Mm.
And I think it just works so well in the space. It's just beautiful. And it's a real altarpiece, you know.
And then I love having Ishan's stofolk.
Yeah.
It's, again, all the stories that you tell here. Tell me about that.
So Ihsan, I mean, that's...
With the rose.
The rose. I mean, Ihsan is just one of our incredible artists. But this specific work, and this, I've installed it quite close to Bronwyn Katz. But Ihsan, I think it's his father's family, are from the Northern Cape. Mm. And he speaks about how they do these real dances, this kind of dance where you move your feet, and it makes these clouds, these dust clouds. And Ihsan has used this trope of the wire cloud again and again. And it's kind of a reference to his, I mean, it's complex, but it's a reference to his heritage. And, you know, it's legitimizing the real dance. I mean, who knows about the real dance in the Northern Cape? So he's bringing a part of the South African family we're bringing into the space. And it's the same as Bronwyn looks at forgotten languages. In this case, I think it's the core language. And this is why you have this sound. She's imagining forgotten languages. Mm. You know, wherever English goes, it tends to flatten all the nuance, you know. And so this is speaking back to that. It's speaking back to bringing, you know, or bringing texture into the conversation.
I think it's phenomenal. Again, for me, my family comes from the Northern Cape. I love bringing audiences into these mm-hmm. spaces who would not ordinarily Absolutely. Feel comfortable coming into these spaces. So to me, when I sat at Ehsan's studio, mm-hmm. he had all these aunties and yes. everyone's working together as yes. a community. My family's from Elsie's River and Ravensmead, right close to Bontebal. Yes. I can feel some of my yeah, stories absolutely. Embroidered into these works too.
Absolutely.
And that feels, you feel like you belong.
Yeah, and you feel like, yes, exactly, and you feel welcomed. I think art museums, art galleries, art institutions very often feel very exclusive. Mm. And it's always whenever I curate, I mean, I think the point is to bring people in and to open conversations. So there's always something for everybody, I think. I mean, a lot of it is quite conceptual, but we've included a lot of text, so you need time. And if you are prepared to read the text, it'll open the works for you. And, you know, coming back to Ehsan, you know, what I love about Ehsan, and actually a lot of these works, like Conradia's here, is it's in a way, it's quite lowly materials. It's plastic beads and, you know, they work with everyday objects. And then they create these absolutely astounding pieces. I mean, that Rose of Ehsan. And you know, so it's a way of bringing the everyday into the museum, but also breaking down those walls and welcoming people, because that's, in the end, you know, art is a conversation. It should be had between different people.
This is very true. I also remember being in Accra with you. So I just want to also inform the viewers and the listeners, we serve on the Global Council of Zeitmoker together. And yeah. I've been learning so much from you. I said to you, everyone needs their own art historian. You're mine. But the care with which you went about curating this exhibition, I think because you're also living in London or spending most of your time there, I can feel your longing for home.
Oh, yeah.
In your work.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about sort of or getting these pieces together. Did it bring a little bit more homesickness into your heart?
Oh, yeah. Well, I live with permanent homesickness. I mean, I spend a lot of time, as my kids are getting older, I spend a lot of time here. My family is there for various reasons. But I'm at the point where I'm thinking, I'm living between London and Cape Town. You know, it's all these artists working between Accra, and I'm one of those. And at some point I thought, oh, my God, how can I do this exhibition? I'm not here, although I'm here quite a lot and I have a house here and all of that. But then at some point I thought, actually, it's good to have that distance. It was very good during large parts of this exhibition to stand away, because I think when you live in South Africa and you are so confronted every day with microaggressions and, you know, difficulties, it's sometimes very difficult to just stand back and just see, you know, have a bit of perspective. So luckily, all of these collections are virtual, you know, they're all online. So I did most of the selections online. And then I spent lots of time here as well. But it was relatively easy to do. I think, you know, you can do these things from everywhere. But I just loved working on this exhibition because it's so close to home. I mean, it's also that the last 30 years, it kind of represents my own journey as an adult, you know, from when I went to university. This is the art history that I want to say, grew up with, but became an adult with, you know, the last 30 years. I remember when some of these works were made. I remember Nicholas Schlorber's first graduate exhibition. I mean, he was a graduate student. I remember it.
It's amazing to see the heights that he's reached.
I mean, I remember that exhibition like it's yesterday. It was at Stevenson. You know, so I remember when these artists started working. So it was quite nice to kind of also in all the new artists that have emerged and all these different histories. So it was one of my favorite exhibitions that I've worked on.
I must say, I can feel the love that you've poured into it. Bronwyn Katz, I also saw at the Venice Biennale, I think.
Yep.
No, was it at Venice, but also then at Art Basel in the Unlimited section.
Yep.
I also saw her work there. And it is amazing, I think, sometimes how our artists are better known internationally than here. Because to me, I've asked a couple of kids in Bontebal and they don't really know who Ehsan Adams is. Mm. And to me, that's sad.
That's sad, exactly.
No, because absolutely. I would love young people
absolutely.
In areas like Bontebal, like Elsie's, like, or to even aspire to being able to tell their stories through art.
But this would so, you know... Yeah, I mean, it's about role models. It's about these stories. And, you know, this is why the novel Zeitmoko has these educational programs. It's one little step, but we should all be working towards bringing art back into schools. I just think it's so important. People are always thinking about the sciences, but art is how we visualize the world. It's how we verbalize the world. It's how we understand each other.
It's how we communicate.
And it's the one thing that makes us think, not the one thing, the various things, but it makes us think critically. Mm. And it is so important to ask questions.
Again, art is a starting point to conversations that need to be had. And I think that is what I feel this exhibition is. There's, I mean, these works, these, tell me about some of these works.
Okay. Well, this is a very, I love talking about this work by Peter Hugo, because you kind of think, oh, new South Africa, white family with black baby. And yes, but the history is actually far more interesting in the sense that this couple is renting a room from this little boy's father. So, you know, in terms of South African terms, that's just like, it's just such an interesting development. And the father had to go to hospital for a couple of weeks, and they agreed to look after the little boy. And what I find so incredibly touching about this work is, I mean, you just, you know, you see hardship and, you know, the way in which people dress it and turned feet, but what Roland Barthes called
the prosthetic leg.
The prosthetic leg. And, you know, he didn't even put it in a shirt or anything. Yeah. And we have to say that Peter Hugo always worked with the consent of people. Yes. So they were in on this. Mm. But what I find so moving, what, you know, the punctum, right? Roland Barthes spoke about the punctum of the photograph, is the little boy, which is just so perfectly dressed. I mean, he's so beautifully looked after. And it's just, I mean, it's a new South African story, and it's just so interesting.
And right? Having heard the story now, it makes it even more interesting to me, because, again, it's not what you thought it was.
Yeah, exactly.
But it needs, the conversation needs to be had for this to actually be discussed. Yeah. So, fantastic piece.
And this one actually is just a print by Candice Braid. So it was also, I made a point of including different mediums in
the exhibition. I was about to say,
this is one of the Arthrop prints. I mean, she printed, I don't know how many, they were relatively cheap in terms of art, but it was important for me to have a variety of mediums, prints, whatever. But this work has, in the last week, become very relevant, because it's basically, these are books which she acquired from a secondhand shop in Bikini Beach and Gordon Bay, a bookshop. And then she's curated them, all these titles which have to do with white flight. You know, the Oplossing, a feature for South Africa, confrontation. I mean, it's just like, you know, all these anxieties, which are also part of who we are.
But that's the thing about South Africa. It's such a... And I do think the more I've traveled, the more I've appreciated South Africa.
Absolutely.
More. I say it often, but this beautiful post are saying, ukuhamba kukubona, to travel is to see. You do appreciate it more. Because, yes, we live in a very... very nuanced, politicized country.
Difficult country.
Very
difficult, very difficult.
There's so much beauty in the stories.
And so much warmth. I mean, believe me, I've lived primarily, you know, in London for how many years, and I just love being here, and I'm, you know, hopefully coming back at the end of next year, permanently.
Come home.
I am. I'm here.
It's a beautiful homecoming exhibition. So
my heart is here. It's always been here. But I think, yeah, it's the nuance and the texture, so it's just such a special place. I don't think we realize it, because we see the problems, but we don't see the other side of it. Mm. And it's, you know, it's not a bed of roses, but we have to work on it.
Lisa, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure and a privilege to get your insight and to take this walk through this exhibition with you.
You're welcome. It was lovely. I always enjoy talking about it. So thank you very much for inviting me.